Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to be in God's house today. And we're going to start with singing His praises with the song, To God Be the Glory. So if you could stand with us, please, as we open our service, To God Be the Glory. It's good to see everyone here this morning.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world, and He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin.
Pleasure to welcome everyone. If you're a visitor, special welcome to you. Let's greet each other as we sing the last verse.
Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory.
Well, good morning, folks. We have gathered today to worship the Lord, to bow down, to give Him honor and glory, and just to pour our hearts out to Him in gratitude for His goodness in our life. He is our Creator. He's our Maker. And so He gives us a Sunday that we can come together and worship Him in a public way like this. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to truly worship Him today. I'll be preaching today from Isaiah chapter 41 and be talking about how God is bigger than our fears. So we'll be talking about that from the book of Isaiah. We welcome you here today. We're glad to see you. We welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube and those who listen by way of radio. We welcome you to our worship service this morning. So may we pray. Lord, we do thank You today for all that You are, the God that You are. We thank You for what You do. We thank You for Your character. We thank You for Your faithfulness to us. And Lord, today we just come to You. We want to worship You. We bow down to You today because You are God. And You are our God. We thank You for that. Father, today we have many things on our minds today. We pray particularly for the new school year and all that goes with that. Lord, we just know that there's a lot of things that are going on with preparations and plans for the new year. We just pray for everyone involved. We ask, Lord, today that you would help us today to focus on you as we've gathered together and to look to you today for the help that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Just some notes I want to make of, point out in your bulletin. One, I wanted to put some statistics in there about our Second Harvest mobile food distribution, May through July. Thought that might interest those that help with that. We've given out 19,000 pounds of food. That's 15,845 is the number of meals that food provided, which was around 400 households has been served and almost 1,500 people. So I think it's good that we're partnered with Second Harvest to do that. That's the impact it's had on our community. Just wanted to share that with you. Also remind the crew that comes on Wednesday night, all the kids that come and teachers will be at the swimming pool this Wednesday night instead of here in the MAC. So make plans to show up at the Loudoun Pool Splash Pad this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. There's other announcements there in your bulletin for upcoming events. Just take note of those as the dates get closer. We're going to continue with our song service this morning. Take the name of Jesus with you, and in times like these, you join in with us this morning as we continue our song service.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it in where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Sure. solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. This rock is Jesus. He is the only one. As our pastor mentioned, sermon is about how God is greater than our fears. So we're going to sing "How Great is Our God," one that we all know. So we're going to ask you for your help this morning. If you could stand with us, if you're able to stand, stand with us as we sing "How Great is Our God."
See how
This song is "I Will Fear No More." Our trust in Him, we will fear no more.
Anxious thought that steals my breath, it's a heavy weight upon my chest. As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength, 'cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will lift my eyes. I will lift my cares. Lay them in your hands. I'll leave them there. When the wind and waves are coming, you shelter me. Even though I'm in the storm is not in me. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength, 'cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will fear no more. Against me, 'cause you have overcome. No darkness can overwhelm me, 'cause you've already won. No power can come against me, 'cause you have overcome. No darkness can overwhelm me, 'cause you've already won. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength, 'cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. 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 I will fear no more.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we have sang about your greatness and how we can trust in you, how you've proven to be trustworthy. God, we pray that we would just turn all fear and anxiety and worries over to you, Lord, because you are so much greater than our fears. We thank you for the trust that we can place in you. Thank you for your faithfulness, your mercy, and your grace, and your love for us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. The scripture I want to read is Psalm 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Now, fear is the most natural part for all of us. It's the most natural path usually we take in life. It will sneak up on us in the night, and sometimes, some mornings, it just hits us in the face like a rising sun. And we've all been there with this thing called fear. There's not anything quite like the grip of fear in a person's life, but it is an emotion that God has given us. He's created us with that emotion of fear. Fear happens when we can't see around the corner. We want to know the future. We want to know maybe what's going to happen in this circumstance or what's the outcome going to be. But at that corner, you know, fear just lurks there in the shadows, and it grabs a hold of our hearts. And so there was a article I read about Ann Landers. And if you know Ann Landers, she was a syndicated columnist who gave advice in the newspaper. And the question was asked to her, what was the common denominator of all the letters that she received, people asking for advice and whatnot. And she said this, she said, the great overriding theme of all the letters that she received through the years was fear. That theme kept coming up over and over and over again. There's a man by the name of Craig Massey who's a psychologist and counselor, and he deals a lot with, you know, counseling people with different things. And he gives us six general categories that most of us face when fear comes. And the point he's making, fear can come in a variety of different ways. But he categorized fear in six categories. Here's what he says. Poverty is one. Are we going to have enough? Are we going to make it? Are we going to make it through recession? Are we going to make it, you know, to the end? Are we just going to have enough? And so that's something that we deal with. Criticism was another. Criticism from others, criticism from enemies, and so forth. The third was the loss of love. The fourth was illness, some illness that may come upon us and set us back. Another was old age, and the last one was death. But what about the Christian? What about a believer? What about a person who has faith in God? Where does that put us? Well, here's what we understand from the Bible. The great Bible characters that we read about and the stories we read about in the Bible, you know, fear was a part of their life. In other words, the Bible does not paint a fear-free life. It's something that comes. It's something we have to deal with at one point or another. I've always liked reading A.W. Tozer, but here's what he said about fear. He said, fear is the painful emotion that arises at the thought that we may be harmed or made to suffer. This fear persists while we are subject to the will of someone who does not desire our own well-being. The moment we come under the protection of the goodwill of God, then fear is cast out. So I thought that was a good way to try to understand this emotion of fear. Dr. Jeremiah said this. He said, fear is a powerful force. It makes us afraid of something that has not happened yet. And so fear is simply a fabric of life. That's what it is. It's a fabric of life. God has made us, I think, in a way so that we would have, you know, enough mind and common sense about us in life that there's some things we need to fear. I mean, we understand we need protection from some things in life. So it can be a good thing if fear remains rational to us. It can be a good thing, because like I said, God has created us with that in our life. Psychologists, psychiatrists, and counselors also talk about another brand of fear that's called phobias. You know, some people have a fear of heights. I didn't have a fear of heights, but as I get older, I have a lot of fear of heights now. I don't want to be climbing, and maybe you're there at that point in your life, and so it just happens. So we've all had our moments of this overpowering fear. So where does faith and fear meet? Well, we find a lot of examples of it in the Bible. One example of this that I wanted to share with this morning was at Kadesh Barnea. The children of Israel were at Kadesh Barnea. They had come through the Red Sea. God had promised them the land of Canaan, the land of Israel where Israel is today. God had promised them that land. They came to Kadesh Barnea. What Moses decided to do was to send out the spies to spy out the land, and he did that. 10 came back with a bad report. 2 of them came back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. 10 said, we can't take the land. 2 said, yes, we can. And so I was thinking about that example, but what it does really is to give us some key principles in understanding this thing about fear. Before those spies were sent out into the land, here's what God told the people. He said, I've given you this land. He said, you don't have to fear. I've given you the land. Go ahead and take the land. Because they did not do that, because they were disobedient to God, then they wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of not believing God. The way we understand Deuteronomy 1 is this. What Moses is doing is getting ready to hand over the leadership to Joshua. And so what Deuteronomy is just a bunch of speeches that Moses made before he died. And so he's making this speech in Deuteronomy chapter 1. He's getting ready to hand over everything to Joshua. And so here's what he said. He said, what fear does is it disregards God's plan. God told them to go in the land. They didn't do it. Fear distorts God's purpose. God has a purpose, and so he had a purpose for them, but fear kept them from that purpose. And then in that chapter also it says that what happened was when the spies came back with that bad report, that it discouraged the people. So fear can bring discouragement in our life. But also what it does, though, is disbelieves the promises of God. God gave them the promise. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 1, the Lord spoke to them. The spoken word of God, the spoken promise of God came to them. Do not fear. I'm with you. Go take the land. And then what it does, though, is disobey the principles of God. You see, what they did, they complained about being out there and away from Egypt and everything. Some of them even wanted to go back to Egypt. And so what they were doing is just getting out of whack with what God wanted for them. What caused that? It was fear. Fear dominated their lives. Fear kept them from going into the land that God had brought them into. You know what fear does? It really, just like them, it brings out the worst in us. It really does. And we see that over and over again. Complaining, distrust, despair. We lose sight of the promises of God. And so that's this powerful emotion that we have called fear. So how can we face our fears? Well, I think one way is we've got to be honest about it. And the way that we confront our fears in honesty is this. We've got to get to the root of the problem. What is really causing my fear? What is the root of the problem? And so we do that. But another thing we do is this. We have to confess our fears to God. And just say, Lord, here it is. Here's what I'm afraid of. If it's something about your health, if it's something about the future, if it's something about a plan that you want for your future, if it's a situation that's out of your control, whatever it is, then, we just go to God with it and we say, God, here's what's bothering me. And then we claim the promises of God for our protection. I've written down some of these from the Bible, and I just want you to listen very quickly to these. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is one. He goes with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you. That is a promise that God has given to us. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. Proverbs 3:25-26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught. Then in Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now we come to our text for this morning. And the reason I wanted to use this verse as a text, this is one of my favorite promises in the Bible. It really is. I mean, this is a promise that God gave to Israel. But it's not only that, it's a promise that He gives to you and He gives to me. So listen to Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. You see, this is not a new message. It wasn't a new message for Israel. This is the same message that God gave to Moses at the Red Sea for the people to hear. This is the very same message that he gave to Joshua when they came to the Jordan River and they were going to cross the Jordan River to go into the promised land. And so this is a message that is repeated over and over and over again. Fear not. Why? Because we can trust in God. We can put our faith in God. We know that He's in control. We trust in the sovereignty of God. And so we put our faith and we put our trust in Him. There are five promises here that I want to talk to you about very quickly. Number one, I am with you. What comes in our mind when we think about God? Do you think about God in a high way or in a low way? When I talk about God being bigger than our fears, can you catch on to that? Do you understand what I'm saying? God is greater than our fears. God is greater than our circumstances. God is greater than the setbacks that come our way in life. Now, He wasn't going to protect Israel from going into the 70-year captivity. That's what's going on here in Isaiah chapter 41. He had been telling them for about 39 chapters, look, here's what's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come into Israel. You're going to be devastated. His army is going to overtake you. Some of you are going to be at the mercy of Babylon. Some of you are going to be taken into Babylon for 70 years. This is the land that God had promised them. Can you think about what's going through their mind? Can you think about what's going in the fear that they may have in their hearts, being separated from family, being taken to a different land? The land of promise would no longer be their place of residence. I mean, they had all this going on. They were going to go through that. But God says this, you're not going to go through that alone. I'm going to be with you. Can you think of people in the Bible that demonstrate that when they were in Babylon? What about Daniel? I mean, you look at Daniel in the book of Daniel, and Daniel was in that place of captivity in Babylon, but look what God did through him and in him and how God helped him during that time. So it's not necessary that the circumstances that cause the fear are going to be all wiped away in your life and my life, but it does mean this. I am with you, with the fears that may come our way in life. It means that His presence is with us. So we must come to this right belief about God. And here's the right belief about God. God is eternal. God is everywhere present. God has promised that He would be with us, you know, all through this life and even through eternity. So that's the promise that we have. Another promise was, I am your God. I am your God. And so when you think about this, you think about the great I am. You think about His promise with us. I was reading on in Isaiah here. And in Isaiah 43, I came to these verses that we've looked at before. But here's what it is to mean that God is with us. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters may not go away. The waves still may be there. But when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Why? Because I am your God. There's a third promise in this verse. He said, I will strengthen you. And so since God is our strength, He gives us the strength. He gives us strength for the days, strength to face what we need to face. in life because of our relationship with Him. Because He is our God. Because He's given us these promises, then we can cast out fear in our life. Number four, He said this. He said, I will help you. You see, we can expect God to help us. Just like He helped Israel here. Just like He helped Daniel. Just like He helped Moses. Just like He helped Joshua. Just like He helped the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. All the Bible people read about. God helped them. He will help you. And He will help me. So that's the promise of the Bible. And then the fifth promise is this. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. With my right hand. With my righteous hand. You know, there's something about being supported by the arms of God. There's something about being held by the hand of God. Now, the imagery here is, if you look at the imagery of this verse, here's what it's saying. That God's got everything in control with this hand, and with the other hand, He's holding on to our hand. And He's got us. And we are secure in Him. And that is the promise. I will hold you with my right hand. I will hold you in my righteousness. Now, the best way, I think, to confront our fears is just draw near to God. Come to God and say, God, I need your help. I mean, I have fear about this. This is very much a concern, and the concern can be very legitimate. I mean, we need to be reasonable about it. I mean, it could be something very, very legitimate. And we just need to come to God and say, God, we need help here. The Bible says in the book of Numbers that what set Joshua and Caleb apart was this. The reason that they were set apart in a very special way, to make a point in the Bible that they came back with a good report saying we can take the land, is this. Numbers 32:12 says this, that they wholly followed the Lord. I mean, they were all in with God. And they were going to trust Him. Their commitment was to Him. They believed that He was in control. And so, God, we are going to trust you. You know, in a time of crisis, that's really what reveals what a person really is. In a time of crisis, it revealed what Joshua and Caleb were. They were people of faith. They were people who wholly followed the Lord. And that's where we need to be in our crises. When fear creeps into our life and fear seems to grip our hearts, we need to wholly follow the Lord. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Have you ever thought about this? Mature love is marked by confidence in God. We love Him because He first loved us. And so He loves us and we love Him. The Bible says because of that love, you know, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. And it really does. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and love and of a sound mind. Fear can cause a lot of confusion. It really can. I know in my life at times when fear comes my way, I get all these crazy ideas. And that's when I want to put on the helmet of salvation, you know. And I really want to think the mind of God about these things. But get all these crazy ideas about how I can fix this circumstance or how I can change this situation or maybe do this to change something that's causing fear in my life. But really what I've got to come back to is God. God's in control. And God's sovereign. And we can trust Him. You know, the Bible tells us that as believers, we're going to have trials in life. You're going to go through the fire. You're going to go through the storm. You're going to go through some deep waters. And those things can create fear because of the uncertainty of not knowing, you know, what's going on in those situations. And I just want to kind of close with this. Commit your life to Jesus Christ. If you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, commit your life to Him. Trust Him. Let Him come into your life. Claim the promises of God. Let Him be near to you. There's one ultimate fear that we all face, that most people, you know, really struggle with. That is the fear of death. The fear of death can really cause people to do some strange things. It really can. But when that appointed time comes, we need to be ready to go. And we need to be prepared for that day. And I've thought about this a lot. And here's where I've come. I'm really not afraid to die. I'm looking forward to that time of being with the Lord and all that. Now, I want to stay here just like you as long as I can. But, you know, I've really, and I think this is how God helps us with this. That we can come at a place of peace with the finality of life. We really can. We can come to that place of peace. But the ultimate fear that people have is that fear of death. But what makes the difference is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have that relationship with Him. And to have that secure in your life. Paul said it this way in Philippians 1:21. To me, Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ. To me, Paul said, to die is gain. You know what Paul was saying? If I live and God lets me live, that's fine. If God decides to take me home, that's fine. Either way, down here, He's with me. Up there, I'll be with Him. And what a great promise that is. The most important truth in history is this. That the power of death has been totally broken through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that when Jesus came into this world, He came to save us from our sins. And what a great gift that is, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. So He died on the cross so that when we believe in Him and we put our trust in Him, when we commit our life to Him, He died on the cross. So one day that He will take us home to be with God. And that's the assurance that we have. Jesus Christ paid the debt that we could not pay. He purchased our salvation on the cross with His blood. And if you've never trusted Him, if you've never committed your life to Him, then do that. The same Bible that says to cast your burdens on the Lord is the same Bible that says this, cast your fear upon the sovereignty of God. Upon the faithfulness of God, upon the goodness of God, because He is in control no matter what comes our way. And that is His promise to us. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank You for the promises of the Bible. We thank You for this great promise from the book of Isaiah today. What a great, great promise this is. And Lord, today we pray for those who've never committed their lives to You. We pray that they would come during this invitation time and make that commitment today to trust in You as Lord and Savior, to come to You today as God, as Lord of their life. Father, we just ask today that as believers, that You would strengthen us today from the promises of God that You've given to us. All these promises that we read in the Bible, Lord, they strengthen us and they help us. So I pray today that we'd be encouraged and we would be strengthened by these promises today. And Lord, we know we have fears in life and we know that fear comes our way, that it's just a fabric of life. It's an emotion that You've given to us. But we also know this, that you will give us help in our time of need. Just like the psalmist said, in his time of crises, in his time of trouble, he cried out to God for help, and you helped him. So, Lord, we look to you to help us, not only today, but also in the days ahead with what we face in life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am.
Sing another verse of invitation here. God's leading you to be a part of our church today. We'd love to have you. If there's a commitment you need to make, there's something you need to pray about, the altar's here open. So we're going to sing another verse. If there's a commitment you need to make, please come.
Just as I am and waiting not to so
you've been here today. Appreciate you being here. Go this week in God's grace. Go this week in God's love. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may His goodness be upon you. One of the things I've learned to do every day is this, is just live in the goodness of God, because He is good to us, and He helps us, folks. He really does. He helps us in so many ways. So go with that thought this week. Thank you.
Close our service this morning with "Our Victory Is in Jesus," and we're going to sing the first verse of that hymn, "Victory in Jesus."
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His
dismissed.